Great. Well, a very warm welcome to those who've made it back in person. Thank you so much for coming along, spending your lunch break here with us on the barge, and a particular warm welcome to those who are still tuning in on Zoom. It's great to have you with us as well. It's our first one back. It's our very first one back. And it's good when we come back to things after being away for a long time to just have another think about why we do it, about why we're here doing it, and why we're on the barge this lunchtime having a lunchtime talk. To do so, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The verses are on, should be on out there for you, but 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through to 7. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So we're back in the workplace. Some of us might have been back for a really long time. Some not so long, some in all the time, some might have just been in a couple of days a week. And it's been a long time working at home. Maybe you're still doing bits at home and being away from our workplaces. And our workplaces are looking really different, aren't they? They're not what they were. Whether your floor is full or your office bustling or if you're still waiting and anticipating a bit more of a full return. It's worth us just considering, isn't it, how to live out our faith in the workplace as we return. In doing so, hopefully, we'll also see just why the barge is here and how we can help you in living your faith out. So Paul, in this letter of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he gives a charge to believers. He tells them that they have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it's our first point today, light in the darkness. It's God's glory in Christ. So look at verse 6. God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." This is God. The God who in creation said, "Let there be light." He spoke in creation into darkness, into chaos, and he created light and order. He is the creator God. He created you and me. He numbered the hairs on our heads. He knows how far each wave will land on the seashore. He's placed every star in the sky. He created light. That is who God is, and he shines in our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Essentially, God shines in your heart, bringing your heart from death to life. He performs the divine heart surgery of taking your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. He removes the heart of darkness and gives you the heart of light. That is the means by which you can have the light. You can come to the knowledge of the glory of God only with a new and living heart that God gives you. That is the only way that you can know about Jesus. So, if you're a Christian here or tuning in online, this is a great comfort. It means that you have had a new heart put in you. Your heart has had light shone into it. God shines lights into our hearts and he brings us to a knowledge of himself, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You would not be able to come to faith in him without this light being shone into the darkness. You wouldn't be able to have faith in him without the light. Without being brought to life, you wouldn't be able to put your trust in him. It mirrors the creation miracle, doesn't it? That miracle of creation is reflected in the miracle of recreation. What God did once on a grand scale when he said, "Let there be light." He has been doing countless times, bringing dead people to life when he speaks into our hearts and says, "Let there be light." Jesus Christ, the man who walked on this earth, was God incarnate. God took on flesh. He is ultimately the clearest and most full revelation of God. And when we look at him, we see in his face, we see the glory of God. When we come to a knowledge of him, come to a relationship with him, we have his glory in us. But it's worth us just asking, what is the darkness then? If God shines this light into the darkness, and if he's given us this light in our hearts, what is the darkness? Where God spoke and said, "Let there be light" in creation, and he pushed the darkness back, his light being poured into our hearts also pushes back darkness. But what is that darkness that God's light banishes? It's the darkness of our sin. And that's the Bible's word for our rebellion against God, for our going our own way. We're all guilty of this. We all worship other things than God. We don't have him on the throne of our hearts. We are guilty of turning our backs on him. We don't love him as we should, and we don't follow his directions to love our neighbor as we should. When we hear about this darkness, some obvious things might come to mind. There might be things that we recognize in our own hearts. We might think of ourselves as greedy. We might know that we're guilty of lust, of lying, of stealing. But sin is also the less obvious, the things that we think, say, and do, and the good things that we fail to think, say, and do as well. The Bible describes it as darkness, but it is no match for God's light. It is no match for God's light. When you turn on a light in a room, it's basically instant, isn't it? That darkness gets pushed back, shadows are gone, and a room gets flooded with light. So it is with God. He doesn't leave any shadows behind. His light is light in the darkness. It's God's glory in Christ. Our second point is from verse 7, the treasure in clay. That's God's gospel in us. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is God's gospel, the good news that light has come, that we don't have to be in darkness. The dungeon of our sin can be flooded with light and our chains taken off. We no longer have to be slaves to sin, but can be counted as children of God. This is because Jesus was killed on the Roman cross, taking our punishment for sin. Rising again, being resurrected into new life. It means that we can have his righteousness, his right relationship with God, placed upon ourselves, and we give him our sinfulness. It's a simple truth, yet of such deep and infinite worth. And it's given to us. God's word tells us that this gospel, this wonderful truth of life and light, is given to us. It's treasure in us. Treasure is incredibly precious, isn't it? And should be well looked after. If you have something valuable, you want to look after it. Something sentimental value, you maybe want to look after it even more. When we have things that are nice, things that are worth a lot of money, we want to make sure that we're careful with them. We probably don't want to be like James Howells, who is an engineer that you might not have heard of. But he actually had a hard drive with 7,500 Bitcoin on. And that 7,500 Bitcoin hard drive he threw away, forgetting about it, when Bitcoin was worth next to nothing of value. Subsequently, he's been on a quest to find this hard drive because it's now worth about £210 million. So We might think him being, he was careless, but, you know, we might be understanding, you know, Bitcoin, he threw it away when it wasn't worth anything. But now, well, he's on a quest digging up landfills looking for this hard drive that he threw away like 8 years ago. If at all that time it had been worth $210 million, do you think he would have chucked it? Like, do you think he would have thrown it away? Do you think he would have forgotten about it? No, it probably would have been in a safe or something. It probably would have been on the pride of place in a bank. It would have been maybe on display in his home. It would have been valuable, pointed to, and he would have treasured that hard drive, wouldn't he? So why is it that God gives his gospel to us? Why do we have his gospel in us? You see, in verse 7, the jar of clay, that's us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We are the jars of clay. These jars of clay, they would have been easily broken. They would have been shattered. They would have cracked. They would have smashed. They would have been really commonplace items. Paul's saying that that's often how we feel, isn't it? Even in our workplaces where we have to be sorted, where we have to be super competent self-starters, where we have to not have any problems, well, we so often don't always feel that way, do we? You might feel like an imposter. You might feel stressed to breaking point. You may be filled with conflict about how busy you are and how much your family needs you. You may feel like everything is a bit too much and you're just quite overwhelmed. Maybe wondering why you were passed up for promotion, why your job was the one to be let go. The truth is that we're not as strong as we like to think we are. So why does God give us this gospel? Why does he choose clay jars for treasure of infinite worth? Well, from verse 7, it's to show us that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's all God's power, not ours. He gives us his gospel, this infinite treasure, even though we're weak, not nearly as sorted as we would like to pretend. It's so that he gets the glory. Imagine if we were actually as well put together as we'd like to think. Well, it'd be easy to imagine that we have the power and that God doesn't. It'd be easy to imagine that we save ourselves from our darkness and it's not God who does that. That we deserve credit for it. But as it is, we're weak. We're sinful. We have that infection of darkness. We are clay jars. And God chooses us to give his gospel to the immeasurable treasure of his gospel. Not so that we look good. Not so that we pretend to be morally superior. But to show his power. To show his glory. We are jars of clay. And we can't take credit for God's work. It is his power, not ours. It's just so often not how we want to behave, though, is it? We turn to our own goodness for why God owes us one, for why he should save us. But that isn't the reality. The reality is that we are clay jars, and God provides the gospel, the saving treasure. He is the one who is good. He is the one who is powerful. He is the one to whom all credit belongs. So three things that we see just in these two verses. Light in the darkness, that's God's glory in Christ. Then from verse 7, we have treasure in clay, that's God's gospel in us. And so that's to show that it's all God's power and not ours. So four ways that we might think about these two verses and apply them as we go back to our offices and as the Barge Midweek returns in person. We've got shine, share, sprout, and speak. Shine is to show off the light that you have been given. God's light, the light of the gospel spoken into the darkness of our life. Show off the gospel and not yourselves. Remember that it's God's power at work in you. Now, encouraging you to shine the light of the gospel might sound quite abstract and maybe a bit daunting. I want to encourage you, it doesn't have to be extravagant. You might find, may find that it's all that you can do is to keep hold of your faith as you return to your workplace and as you go about your job. But let's be better employees because of our faith. Let's be better employees because of our faith. Let's show that as a Christian, we'll work hard, that we'll rest wisely, that we will own up to our mistakes, be honest in our dealings, we won't go against our conscience, that we'll pray for the health of our firm, and we'll try and do all that we can to help our firm succeed. Christians who are only interested in the workplace as a means of funding ministry or as only evangelism, well, they're getting an incomplete picture, and their bosses and their colleagues will probably notice. It's been a long time since many have been back in the office, and the office will probably feel different for quite some time. Some may really struggle getting back to work and maintaining a healthy and living faith. Well, come along to the midweek here at the Barge, and we'll do what we can to offer you help and encouragement. We'll do what we can to get alongside you as you live out your faith throughout the week. Journey with other Christians from the wharf, and maybe some who are further on in their careers and can give you perspectives as you struggle. And this will help you shine. The next is to share. It may be that you find yourself with an opportunity to actually share your faith in the workplace. Maybe in casual conversation, maybe with the diversity and inclusion networks, or through your Christian forum. So if you can, share. Share the light that God has spoken, the life that you have found in Christ, the love that is freely available to you when you put your trust in him. Now, you might find the idea of this a bit daunting. You may not want to stand out. You might not want to seem different. But remember, we're jars of clay, so that's to be expected. Remember, we're jars of clay. It's to be expected. But what we have is the power of God. You might want to make the most of midweek opportunities here at the Barge. We're here to help you live out your faith in the workplace and to help you to share your faith in the power of God. So we hold various events that folk can be brought along to. This term we've got a week looking at Lasting Hope and over at Suffering. We've got Remembrance Day and all of those carol services as well. They're worth taking full advantage of in sharing the light in the power of God. Next is Sprout. And to be honest, it's grasping at straws at that alliteration, really. But put down deep roots in faith that grow into sprouts and flourish into fruit. Living out faith in the workplace, shining and sharing can be tough. You won't be able to do it without deep nourishment from God. I've always thought of it in terms of you want your life to be L-shaped. You want to be receiving from God and giving out. But you don't want your L to get the wrong way round, where you're actually giving out more than you are receiving. We need deep roots in order to sprout into good fruit. So don't get your L the wrong way round. Instead, be working from a place of surplus rather than of deficit. Let's rely on the power of God and press into him. Let's put in deep roots that help us to sprout up good fruit. We do Bible talks here at the midweek for that reason. We want workers to be nourished from God's word, his spirit working in our hearts and growing mature disciples. So come along to the Bible talks. We run partnership groups for those who would like to study the Bible with other wharf workers. we do Bible studies that are, you know, they're tailored to the workplace, and you meet with various folk from various different firms, and you commit yourself to getting deeper into God's word weekly with them. And finally, speak. We understand that shining, sharing, and sprouting may be the capacity for some people. And I want to encourage you that that's excellent and worthwhile. But why not also have a go at speaking? That deliberately sharing your gospel with your colleagues in explicit spoken ways. Maybe it comes in the conversation of what do Christians actually believe? Why do you celebrate Christmas/Easter? How do you celebrate Christmas/Easter? And then let's be ready for what we're going to say when those questions come. Let's be prepared. Let's be confident that the gospel is a precious treasure that we can speak out and speak boldly about. Let's be confident that it's a precious treasure that we want to shine through our clayness and our weakness. We at the Barge want to help equip you for navigating the workplace as a Christian. We want to equip you to share, to shine, to sprout, and to speak. We want to equip you for those conversations. If you want to push yourself, we want to equip you to help you hold a testimony event. Invite your colleagues to hear your story. We'd love to hear you, to help you feel confident in sharing the gospel in that way. Maybe push the boat out and have a go at doing an evangelistic talk yourself. Well, we want to equip you to be able to do that and to do it really well. We have an infinite treasure, a glorious light, salvation in Jesus Christ. It was given to us weak and frail clay jars, not so that we would look good, not so that we're impressive, but so that Christ would look good, so that God gets the glory. So let's give him the glory as we return to our workplaces. Let's give him the glory as we shine his infinite treasure, as we share his gospel, as we sprout deep roots into the word and sprout out fruit, as we speak his good news to each other and to our colleagues.